All right, quick review of what we did last week. We have a board now. Let's draw, or what we will call drawing. Let's do that. Okay. Kuf Mem Aleph 141a. At the beginning of the Gemara, if you remember, the Mishnah was talking about if you have straw on top of a bed, you know, can you shake it off or can you move it off with your body? Then the Gemara said, Amar Rav Nachman, Hay Pugla Milamala Lamata. Anyone know what that meant? Remember what that meant? The radish. Milamala Lamata, according to Rashi, what that meant was that its bulbous part, where's Rashi? Snow Shaton Makar Khai's Kami Shabilasilimala Mata Shari. Imhaya Rosha Milamala. Let's just make it like a Hershey kiss. Okay? And here is the ground. Okay? So according to Rashi, Shari Imhaya Rosha Milamala Vukta Milamata, and the stem is at the bottom. The chutzah meirusha, and you grab it from here and you pull it out. So what are you going to have left over? Like this. Just empty space, right? So that is not a problem because you're not moving any of this stuff. This is all staying put. So Rashi says, "Tchilav uktzah nimshach acharah mutar lefisha guma rechava milamala." The guma, the divot, is wider at the top.
Okay.
Good. And you pull it out, you're not moving any of this. But if it was the other way around, you don't have to really draw this, but you know what I mean? See how well I can make the same thing upside down. Right? So now when you pull this out, this part and this part, they're going to move away when you're pulling it out. So you're moving the ground when you do that. And therefore, that's milamata lamala, shetafon anasa lamala v'rosh ha'aliona, shehu av, the thicker part, is lamata, v'hu shomta misofa, and you bring it out like this, and then, asur lefisha guma k'tzara milamala, it's thinner over here, shuchotza mezizafer in the tatzalo, v'yavakat tiltzul v'natzadhu, shmei tiltzul v'asir, even though you're not touching this, and you're not touching this, but your tilt, it's called tiltul min hatzad. It is indirectly moving it, and therefore it would be aser according to Rav Nachman. That's Rav Nachman in the Gemara. Hai plugla milamala lamata shari, milamata lamala asir. And then Amr of Adabar Abba, Amri Beirav, Tanina, Dulok Rav Nachman. We have a Mishnah which is not like Rav Nachman. Hakasha gabi hamita, lo yinano, lo yinaneu. The straw on the bed, you can't move it with your hand. You can move it with your body. We learn from here that indirect tiltul, according to our Mishnah, at the top of Kuf Mem Aleph and Aleph, means that we do not paskin that tiltul min hatzad is real tiltul, and instead it is going to be considered mutter. Mutter, mutter, mutter. We're not getting into clarifying what exactly it's mutter when it's not a mutter, but for right now, it's not considered real tiltul, and it would be mutter. That is Kuf Mem Aleph, okay? Kuf Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph. That is Gemara number one. Gemara number two, and the one that we're going to focus a little bit more on. Yeah.
Why do we care that the dirt will be moving?
Dirt is
muktzah. But we're not touching it.
That's exactly the Gemara's question. It's indirect. Right? When the rabbis, and this is getting, it's happening because of you. You're causing it to move. The question is, when the rabbis originally determined, we want to have this thing called muktzah, and this thing's going to revolutionize the Shabbos experience. It's going to make it so that people are focusing on the right things in life. They're not focusing on moving the things they shouldn't be touching, the things they haven't thought about, the things they haven't deliberately said. I'm going to use those. When they said that, what did they mean? Did they mean that you've got to be super careful to not involve yourself at all with anything that's not relevant for Shabbos? Or does it mean, you know, focus on the important stuff? If by, you know, by accident you touch other things, you don't have to go crazy about it. Right? So I mean, I'm just couching it in those terms.
A situation like this could happen in different ways with a lot of others.
For sure. It's tiltul min atzad. How crazy are we going to be about this muksa thing? When Chazal established it, did they mean to, like, every single little thing, don't you dare do anything that's, you know, not relevant for Shabbos? Or did they mean, like, focus on the important things. If things happen by, you know, by accident, that's fine. All right, so, I mean, that's one way of asking the question. But ultimately, with our halacha glasses, we're not asking about what did the rabbis originally mean. We're asking, what does tiltul mean? What does movement mean? How do you define a movement? Is a movement something, movement you like with your hands? Is a movement something which you do deliberately with your hand? Or is it something which you could do even indirectly? Now, we have this concept of grama in other aspects of Shabbos too, right? Grama is a very important part of Shabbos halacha. You know, causing something to happen even if it wasn't directly done by you. You know, the thermostat goes on because you open the refrigerator door. Is that usser? Not as usser. Maybe it's not usser because it's only a grama, right? And a grama of a drabana, it gets very complicated. So for Shabbos purposes, that's a much more important. Here we're saying, is it even relevant? Is it even part of the discussion that indirect movement is considered movement? And according to the Gemara Kuf Pem Aleph, we're going to say no. Now we're going to go to a Gemara on Kuf Chaf Gimel Amid Aleph. Kuf Chaf Gimel 123a. We already introduced this Gemara last week, but now let's dig into it a little bit. Okay. 123a. Tanu Rabbanan, right in the middle of the page. It's still in that, okay. Is still in that volume, Adina?
I think so.
Okay. It's, I think, yeah. Tanu Rabbanan Paga, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 123a, just follow the pages. There are multiple pages for each number. That's how it works. 123a, I would assume this is 123a2. The word on the page is Tanu Rabbanan. I know it's hard to see that sometimes. This is a course in reading an art scroll Gemara. Over here, you'll see in the middle of the page, if you look at the Hebrew side, for those looking at art scroll, if you look at the Hebrew side, it's right at this point on the page. So look at this page. You'll see that there's a gray bar at somewhere in the column, no? You see the gray bar? If that gray bar is covering that part of the page where I'm pointing, I'm talking to the art scrollers, only art scrollers. If the gray box is overlapping this part of the page, that means you're on the right page, you're open to the right two pages. Then you have to find the words Tanu Rabbanan at the beginning of one of the art scroll paragraphs, if you want to see the translations. So that, you have it? Yeah, there you go. It's the last, it's not a word, but the last thing on the line. Tanu Rabbanan. Paga or paga shetmana batevin. What's a paga? Rashi says, let's see where Rashi is.
Yeah, in the middle.
Right in the middle. A few lines lower down from where we are in Rashi. Paga, te'ena. Good. Te'ena is a fig. Shalo bashla kol tzarka. Unripe fig.
Yeah. Cool.
Now, I mean, I don't know what figs look like when they're unripe, but I assume they look a little like this, don't they?
Yeah.
They're a little bulbous also. Yeah. They don't have to, they come to a point like that, but they're also bulbous. Now, yeah, right. I mean, we're talking about the, you know, the Israel industry. They have probably a bunch of words for figs. And okay, so pagash tena shelo bashla kol tzarka v'tomnim b'teven lihit bashel. Okay, sorry. I'm going to say I'm thinking the shape of a pomegranate, but I know it's not. I'm going to do it like this.
Fig. Oh.
No?
It isn't
The top's not so big?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like garlic?
Yeah.
So it's more like this?
Yeah.
Okay, it's exactly like the radish picture that I drew. The difference here is...
You
already said it. Haga shetmana ba tevin. Tevin is?
Straw.
Okay. We've got a bunch of little straw here, straw there. okay? Shetzman Abatavan, you did that because you wanted to help ripen it, like brown bagging an avocado. Mm-hmm. Okay. Betevan mukta have latit. And tevan, straw, as we know from the end of Parsha Shmos, is designated, I don't know if Rashi is saying this as a general category or he's saying this for this person, this one person, he uses his tevan for mortar. Okay? So this is mukta. All this stuff, mukta. Okay? That's why it's important. If it wasn't mukta, it wouldn't be a question at all. So now, says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Paga Shetmana B'Teven, V'Charara Shetmana B'Gachalim. It's a little confusing, because later on in the Gemara, it's going to use the word Charara for a needle, which is, I think, more typical use. But here, Charara means, I think, bread of some kind. Try to draw a loaf of bread. That could be better. A little better. Okay. So the bread is covered in gechalim. What's gechalim?
Coals.
Okay, so now let's draw some coals.
Why? Nobody asked.
They're heating it up. You like hot bread. It's like a plata. Now, there are other halakhic considerations that go into this, by the way, and the Rishonim debate all of them. We're not going into those.
Covered by coal or surrounded by coal?
It's supposed to be covered.
Okay.
But you're going to see why I drew like this on purpose.
Okay.
So, charar shetmana b'gachalim. If you read the Gemara, im megula miktsasa. If some of it is uncovered,
is exposed,
migule miktsatsa, some of it. So then mutar litaltala. If some is exposed, I can grab it and pull it out. I can take the bread and pull it out. Okay, that's what the Gemara is saying.
Mm-hmm.
However, v'im lav asur litaltala. If it's not exposed, if this is fully covered, it is really, insulated.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're trying to really
even know it's
rare. Okay, you could say it that way.
See it.
Right, but in terms of knowledge, let's not go to knowledge because we know it's there.
Okay, sorry.
Because of the next part. So then, if it's fully covered, so then we can't touch it. Now, I'm going to ask you before we get into the Gemara. Why? What's the difference?
It's the same thing like with the radish.
Is it? What was the case of the radish? Remember,
the dirt moved.
What's the case here?
You're gonna push the straw away, make it move.
Well, we said if it's exposed,
then it's okay.
It's
going to move anyway. Even if it's
that's exposed, what it seems like,
move.
Right?
Yeah.
At least the way that I drew it, it's going to move. Okay. We haven't seen Rashi yet, but what we'll see is Rashi doesn't make such distinctions this time. Okay, and if it's completely covered, then it's good. Then it's no go. But if it's a little exposed, you can grab it by the exposed part and take it out. Comes Rev Eliezer ben Tadai. I'm not familiar with Rev Eliezer ben Tadai. It's not a very common name that you find in the Gemara. But Rev Eliezer ben Tadai Omer Tochvin Bekush O Bekarkar. You can. Anyone know what this means? How does the Arts Girl say it? Connect a, doesn't have an English there. Connect a reed or I think karkar is
it?
What's a shuttle?
Okay, I found it in the
What's a shuttle? It's like a weaving
weave,
thing?
It's the thing.
Right, the shuttle and weave.
I don't know if it's warp or weft.
Right.
Mix them up, but the one that goes back and
across,
forth.
Yeah. So a shuttle is like one of those things that you can use to, grab it and pull it out. So says Rav Elazar ben Tadai, if you can puncture, let's take your reed or your shuttle and just dip it right in there, puncture the fig like a skewer, exactly, or puncture the bread like a skewer and pull it out, so then you'd be okay.
Okay, using a,
Tofen b'kusho b'karkar v'hein min na'aros me'elehem. and they will fall off on their own.
Of the straw.
The straw and the stones will fall off, or the coals will fall off from their own.
No different than just doing it with your hand. Well, Brenton wouldn't anyway, but like, yeah, it's different than doing with your hand is probably still a sword, right? Because
doing with your hands, presumably you'd have to move the straw yourself.
No, because you do it fat, it's going to have
fat. So
that
would make it a sword, right?
Good. When you stick this in and pull it out, it's still something outside. Remember, Rashi explains this for Rav Nachman, but we don't paskin like Rav Nachman. We paskin like our Mishnah, which says you're allowed to do it even in this case. This is Tiltum and Atzad. Let me write this, actually. This is Tiltum and Atzad. Tiltum and Atzad. And what's this case? It's nothing. Because you didn't move any muktzah. There's ain tiltul here. You didn't move the muktzah at all. So that's why Rav Nachman's okay with this one. Right? That's according to Rashi on Kuf Mem Aleph. The reason this is okay, because he didn't move the dirt. But then we said, wait a second, no, we have a Mishnah which is against Rav Nachman. I remember that's what we said. And then we quoted our Mishnah about the bed with the straw on top of it. Mm-hmm. That you can go into bed and move the straw off with your body. And we said that justifies this one. Tilt min atzad, not tiltul. That's a equal signs cut, you know the other one? Okay. Okay. So tiltum and atzad is lo shmei tiltul. It's not tiltul, and this is okay. This is still okay. So now we come to Kuf Chav Gimel. And we have the case of Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai. Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai is responding to the Tanna Kamma. The Tanna Kamma said, again, if it's exposed and this straw is not here, just grab it and pull it out. If the coal is not here, just grab the bread and pull it out. If, however, it's covered, so then you can't take it at all. That's the Tanna Kamma. Comes to Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, he said, I got a brilliant idea. Tanna Kamma, I know you said there's no way to take this out, but I think there is. Take a skewer, whatever it is, stick it in, pull it out. Take a skewer, stick it in the bread and pull it out. This way, you come back to a tiltum and atzad question. You're not touching the straw, you're not touching the coal, and now it's just falling off on its own. Perfect. We're in like Flynn. We're good. We've got no problems. Tiltum and atzad, not a problem. You know what the problem is? The problem is really the Tanna Kamma. What's the Tanna Kamma thinking? We'll get into that question in a second. Let's read the end of the Gemara, because it's not so much. Says the Gemara, Elizabeth Tadai Omer Tofin Bekusha Bekarkar Vehim and Aros Malayim. Omer Rav Nachman, then Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, we know Rav Nachman.
The same one?
You mean that's the same guy? The one that says you can only do this but not this?
Yeah,
exactly. Okay, now we're getting into drushes. Maybe, let's hold off on that. The Gemara is going to ask this question. Rav Omer Rav Nachman Halacha Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai. He holds, like Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, that you could stick a skewer in it and pull it out, even if it's going to indirectly move the straw or move the coals. Rav Nachman said we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai. Says Gemara, whoa, 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 Rav Nachman. Lememra, is that to say, desavar Rav Nachman tiltul min hatzad lo shmei tiltul? Does Rav Nachman hold that tiltul min hatzad is lo shmei tiltul? Rav Nachman's the one that said this was no good. So says the Gemara, how could he say that? How could he say that we pass from like Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai over here by the straw and the coal? Says the Gemara, V'ha amar Rav Nachman, Hai pugla milamala lamata shari, mimata lamala asir. He's the one that said that doing it this way is asir. So how could Rav Nachman say that?
Maybe he would let you do it with a skewer.
Why would a skewer be any different by holding it from a different point? You're not touching either way.
Well, what you're doing with your hand is...
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's just see what the Gemara says, because it's three easy words, similar to what Reina said. Hadar bei Rav Nachman mehahi. Anyone know what those words mean? Hadar bei, what does the word hadar mean? Not in like an esrog way. Hadar means to return. No, you don't know that word? Like hadran alach. You know, we say at asiyum. Hadran alach meseches baba kama, whatever. We'll come back to you, baba kama. So hadar bei means... He went back on what he said. He changed his mind. Rav Nachman changed his mind. He's allowed. You're allowed to change your mind. The question is why he changed his mind.
Just
Yeah, just so that we could have a shiur about it. There is an interesting question in Tosfos. If you look at Tosfos...
First he says aloud and out loud.
Say again?
First he
said, this is not allowed.
No, first he said this.
Oh, the Gemara is now... Well, that's a good question. Let's look at Tosfos quickly. Tosfos on the left side. This is just to get pshat. We're not getting any deep with Tosfos here. Hadar, you see the word Hadar in Tosfos? Tosfos on the outside of the page.
Right, is it like there in the middle of something?
No, it's a header. It's
it's
higher up from the Gemara. Hadar Bei Rav Nachman Me'ahi. Mistabra, anyone know what the word mistabra means? I just used it today with an Israeli. Mistabra means it makes more sense. Mistaber, right? Like savar, to make sense, to explain. Mistabra de mehahi hadarbe. De mehahi hadarbe. What does it mean, mehahi hadarbe? You always count on Tosos to use a proper noun or a pronoun to not really understand what we're talking about. Mehahi. Which he's really asking, what's bothering Tosfos? Like, what's bothering Rashi? What's bothering Tosfos? We know he changed his mind, but which one did he change? We've got two Rav Nachmans. We've got the Rav Nachman that we looked at on Kuf Mem Aleph, which is later on in the Masechta, by the way. The Kuf Mem Aleph one says he thinks it's Usr. You can't do Tiltul Min Hatzad. That meaning Tiltul Min Hatzad, Shmei Tiltul. Tiltul is really Tiltul, right? It is Tiltul. That's why you're not allowed to do this. According to Rav Nachman. So that's one Rav Nachman. Now this Rav Nachman's hoping, like Rav Elizabeth Tadai, that I could take a skewer. I'm going to make a skewer. I can take a skewer and just stick it right into that piece of bread. Right? I'm going to take a skewer and then stick it right into the fig. So we have these two Rav Nachmans. Which one are we supposed to believe? The one that says this is no go? Or the one that, we know he changed his mind, but which way did he change his mind? The Gemara doesn't tell us.
Tosfos saying that it makes more sense if he goes back on this one day on the one.
Oh, so let's read Mehahi. What's Mehahi?
From this one.
If I were to say from this, what word would I use?
Hazeh.
Mehahi presumably means that one. He went back on this one. That's what Tosfos says.
Oh.
Right? Hadar Bei Mehahi. Why? How do we know Hadar Bei Mehahi? Mid the Amar Beperik Chulin, because it says later on in Kuf Mem Aleph, it says later on Amar Beirav Tanina Delo Karev Nachman. Amri Beirav, we have a Mishnah which is not like Rev Nachman. Now, it's not 100% what he's saying. That what he's saying is what he's saying, but I think what he's saying is Rav is looking backwards in time, and he's trying to explain this the best way I can. The Gemara is generations upon generations, right? It's like, Ricky once read a book called The Source or something. It's about Tel HaShomer. Anyone familiar with Tel HaShomer? Maybe I'm thinking of a different thing. But it's a hill that when they excavated it, they found layers of different civilizations. And you could see the lower they went down, the older the generation, right? So the Gemara is basically some rabbis' opinions, and then later rabbis added to those opinions, and then later rabbis added to those opinions. If you remember the last topic, right, by Bas Dabar Asser, we had that whole change of rabbi. This rabbi quoted from that rabbi, who quoted from this rabbi, who once saw the Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi allowed us to take a Dazara. Right, remember that one?
Yeah.
Right, so it's this whole chain, building on one chain. So when Rav Tosfos is looking at the Gemara in Kuf Mem Aleph, and it says, that Amri Beirav Tanina Delok Rav Nachman. Beirav Tanina Delok Rav Nachman. This is funny. Hold on. I'm trying to figure out how he means this. I think, actually, I'm changing how I'm going to explain this. I think what he's saying is, I could make an argument the opposite of this, but I think what he's saying is that if you think back at the Gemara in Kuf Mem Aleph, we brought Rav Nachman's opinion, this yes, this no, and then we said in response, Amr Bei Rav, Tanina to Lok Rav Nachman. The end of that Gemara, there was no response to that statement. The Mishnah is not like that, Rav Nachman. So says Tosfos, it makes sense that that's when he changed his mind. We said, hey, Rav Nachman, there's a Mishnah that says against you. And then Rav Nachman was quiet. Shtika koda, maybe that's when he disagreed. There's a Mishnah against me, I can't fight with the Mishnah. Now, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that in the Gemara. So I think that's Tosfos' proof. I was going to say otherwise, that Rav is looking back in history that was really Rav Nachman's opinion. But okay, we're not going to get too bogged down into the Tosfos. But the point is that ultimately, according to Tosfos, I'm sure there's a machlokas here. Otherwise, Tosfos would not be asking the question. According to Tosfos, Rav Nachman does away with this, and he paskins that tiltum and atzad lo shmei tiltum. So in the end of the day, we have no machlokas here. Because Rav Nachman ultimately agrees with the Tanakhama. Sorry, agrees with Elazar ben Tadai. He agrees that tiltum and atzad lo shmei tiltum. And even in this case, you could stick a skewer into the bread or stick a skewer into the fig, pull it out, and even though that will move the straw or that will move the coals, it'll still be okay.
It's not a direct action.
It's not direct. You're not doing it with your hands. So that's according to at least Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, maybe even according to Rav Nachman himself. Okay. Now, was Kuf Chav Gimel quoting any other rabbis? Oh, sorry, was Kuf Mem Aleph quoting any other rabbis? What? No, from the Gemara, did it start off with an author of that opinion? I just want to get on my author straight. Kuf Mem Aleph, said Rav Nachman, and then Bei Rav used the Mishnah. Okay, it's Rav Ada Bar Abba, quoting Rav Ada Bar Abba. Okay. So, in the end of the day, it seems like everyone agrees about this. The question is, the real question is, what do they really agree about? We have, at least in the end of the day, it sounds like we paskin, tiltum and atzad, lo shmei tiltum. That indirect movement is not considered movement for the sake of muktzah. And it would be okay to do it. Something's in your way, just, you know, brush it off with your elbow or something. The question that still exists is, what are Rav Elazar ben Tadai and the Tanakhama arguing about? If we reverse, you put the car in reverse for a second. We came to this conclusion that you could stick a skewer in it and pull it out, okay? And we had said that was the case because Rav Elazar ben Tadai hold tiltum and atzad lo shmei tiltum. What did the Tanakhama hold? If you remember, if it's not completely covered, it's good, but if it's completely covered, it's no good. So, what does the Tanakhama believe? What is the opinion of the Tanakhama? Now, if all you saw were these two Gemaras, maybe you would say that the Tanakhama believes like originally Rav Nachman believed. And when we say that it's got to be Megula Miktsasa, it's got to be exposed, what it really means is that none of the hay can be on top of the fig, and none of the coals can be on top of the bread. Now, I would already respond, even at that point, that's not what it sounds like. Migula miktsasa doesn't sound like that. Miktsasa means a little bit. It doesn't mean migula kulo, lamala. So let's look a little first at Rashi. Let's see how Rashi explains this. See if we can get a little more clarification. Again, we're Kuf Chav Gimel 123a on the inside of the page. We are looking at Im Megula Miktsasa. And remember, Rashi is the one that explained it like this, that you're not going to be moving any dirt. Let's see how Rashi explains this one. says Rashi, Sheyachol le'ochza b'makom hamegula. Bless you. You are able to grab it in the place that's exposed. Da'afilu, bless you again, Da'afilu tiltul min hatzad leka. Listen to these words of Rashi. I'm flabbergasted by them. Hopefully you'll be too. Rashi says, there's not even tiltul min hatzad here. Why is there not even tiltul min hatzad? Says Rashi. Let's look close at these words. The tilta filu tiltul min hatzad leka she'ein tzarech lehagabiyah hatevin. You don't have to pick up the straw. You don't have to pick up the straw. Why would you would expect the next words to be, oh, because they're not really covering at all, and you can just pick it up out of the floor, whatever. Says Rashi, why? Ella, rather, what are you going to do? Magbiha makom hamegula. You pick up the exposed part of the fig or the bread. Vehateven nishmat v'nofel. Nishmat v'nofel. What does that mean? They'll be removed and fall down. Removed and fall down. It sounds like Rashi. This can't be. But it sounds like Rashi is saying that as long as this is exposed a little bit, I could grab this part of the bread, pick it up. This coal will be removed from it and fall over like this. No fail means it's falling down. That can't be. It can't be. Why can't that be? Yeah, Rashi said on Kuf Mem Aleph that, yes, this is Rav Nachman who says that it's also Aser, but he called that Tiltul Min Hatzad. Rashi uses that exact definition or that exact description by the pugla, by the radish in the dirt, that the dirt is going to be picked up. If we look back at Kuf Mem Aleph, just to get the words of Rashi again, what was Rashi's words on 141a? Rashi said, and when he removes it, it's moving the dirt and moving it. It's shaking the dirt and moving it. V'af agav the tiltul min hatzadu shmei tiltul v'aser. This is according to Rav Nachman again. So Rashi clearly said the same case where the dirt is covering a little bit, but you grab it from the stem and you pull it out. The dirt's going to fall off the sides, and that's tiltul min hatzad. It's going to be aser. Now we could say this within Tanna Kamma, but what's most fascinating about Rashi is that he doesn't even need to come on to the Tanna Kamma to be problematic. This Rashi, in the words of Rashi himself, he says, this is not even tiltul min hatzad. Right? Look at Rashi on 123 again. He says, da'afilu tiltul min hatzad leka. Right? You could have said, oh, maybe it's tiltul min hatzad. Oh, no. It's not even tiltul min hatzad. It's not even a problem of tiltul min hatzad. Now, by the way, what is the implication of Rashi there? He doesn't say. What's the implication? We have to sort of like, we're in the weeds here. Okay? Rashi is explaining the Tanna Kamma. There's Tanna Kamma case one and Tanna Kamma case two. Tanna Kamma case one is when it's exposed. Okay? You can grab it, pull it up, not even tiltul min hatzad. It's not even aim, right? This would be, in the words of what we were using before, this would be, according to Rashi, here, this would be aim tiltul. It's not even tiltul min hatzad. You're not even moving it at all. It's not even a question. Now, we would have a different thing to say on Kuf Mem Aleph. The point is, right here, it's as if there's not even a problem. And that's why it's not a problem for the Tanna Kamma. Why does he say this? Why does Rashi feel the need to say this? Because in 1 second from now, we're going to say, im mechuse, if it's completely covered, then what? No, that's Elazar ben Tadai. It is tiltul. So Rashi, put yourself in Rashi's shoes for a second. He's looking at this Gemara and he's saying, how in the world are we going to make this make any sense? We know Rebbe Elazar ben Tadai. Rebbe Elazar ben Tadai says, tiltul min atzad, lo shmei tiltul, we pass them like that, fine. But what's he arguing about? He says you can put a skewer in the bread and pull it out and all the stuff's going to fall over the place. That's tiltul min atzad. That, Rebbe Elazar ben Tadai, you could do that. But what was the Tana Kama's opinion? That tiltul min atzad made tiltul? If the Tana Kama held that tiltul min atzad is really tiltul, which is what Rebbe Elazar ben Tadai disagrees with, that it's not tiltul, meaning that it's completely okay, and maybe the Tana Kama holds that tiltul min atzad is not okay, so then why is he allowing the first case? Why is the Tana Kama allowing just because it's exposed a little bit? Rashi feels the need to come on to this new version. Not like he did on Kuf Mem Aleph, which he will do on Kuf Mem Aleph, but rather that with this case, it's not even tiltul. And I really don't know why Rashi does this. Rashi could have at least tried to make it like this case. He doesn't even try that. Megula Miktsasa, he doesn't even try doing that. He says, Nishmat v'nofel, which sounds pretty explicit, that it's a case where the coals, even if you grab the bread like this, with your hand, the coals will move. They will, just like the bread, the dirt in this case. It's bewildering. It's bewildering. Now, you could always, again, you could say, well, what does it matter? This is the Tana Kama. We paskin Rebbe Elazar ben Tadai. We paskin tiltul min atzad lo shmei tiltul. The problem is Rashi's own words. Because Rashi said the words, tilt afilu tiltul min atzad leka. This, not even tiltul min atzad. It's not even tiltul min atzad. So now we've got to figure out, well, what is tiltul min atzad? If that's not even tiltul min atzad, what is this? We've got to figure out what tiltul min atzad is. Now, you could always say tiltul min atzad, lo shmei tiltul, we don't paskin that it's a problem anyway. But I can imagine that there's a difference in you know, whether or not you have to move something, right? If you have to move something, muktza, would you prefer to do tiltul min atzad or no tiltul at all? Probably no tiltul at all. We better, right? So if we can figure out what this means, we can even avoid doing this. We don't even have to come on to that question. We could do it the real good way, not even move it at all. But we've got to figure out what are the differences between these two cases. So what do you think? Any ideas? What would be the differences between these two cases? I was too convincing. It was not the object. I don't think so. I don't think there's a big difference between the two objects. So let's look. I'm trying to see. I think Tosa says it. No, he doesn't hear. Okay, he says something at the end of Tosfos, which is what I was looking at, which is not really going to help us, but it will make us think for a second. Okay, the end of this long Tosfos, on this long longer Tosfos, Hi Pugla. Actually, let's try to see if we can get through Tosfos. Hi Pugla. Anyone know Vav Aleph Taf? I'll give you the first one. It's V. V'im Tema, V'im Tomar. And if you're going to say, V'im Tomar, Hai Pugla Hechidami. How exactly are we situating this Pugla? Again, the Pugla is the radish. That's this case, the Kuf Mem Aleph case that the Gemara brought in as a counter to Rav Nachman. Ib Meniach. If you set it down there, my time demand shari milamata lamala. Ha afilu niur lo shari kol shekein tiltul min atzad. If you put it there, this is a busis question, right? If you put it there, You put it there to keep it there. So then you can't move the dirt at all. What are we talking about? My taima. So my taima, even disheri milamata lamala. Even the first case where it says you could take it out. Wait a second. You put it there. And now, sorry, no. The milamata lamala. I'm looking at this note here. There's a letter here that says, I think it might have to change milamata lamala. Anyways, so ha'afil nir lo shari. Kol shekin tiltum min atzad. Even to shake the dirt will be a problem. It's mukta. All the more so to move it. Which is interesting. He makes a distinction between moving and shaking. Moving and shaking. So my time demand to asar, I feel tilt gamer shari litzar tilt. If you agav heter, okay, we're not gonna get into this. Right. Well, so, yeah, regretting getting into the specifics of buses here. Hold on. Yeah, this is really a buses question. Let's fast forward to the bottom of the page. The second to last line of Tosafot starts with the word kavan. Kavan de'efshar b'niyor da'afilu tiltul min hatzad eino. Now I'm just sort of extrapolating that line. You're extracting that line. De'efshar b'niyor. It's possible by just shaking. Da'afilu tiltul min hatzad eino. It's not tiltul min hatzad when all you're doing is shaking it. It's not tiltul min hatzad when all you're doing is shaking it. So some try to say, hey, that's a useful distinction. Maybe when Rashi on Kuf Mem Aleph says the words Shilchotza mezis ha'afar umetaltalo v'af agav de tiltul min hatzad hu shmei tiltul v'aser, maybe that's what he means. This is real tiltul because you are moving and picking up. You're picking it up, and you're moving it. Umetaltala. Whereas on Kuf Chav Gimel, it's a hard read. That's why I said it's not really going to help us. It's a hard read. But Rashi says here, Magbia mag v'hateven nishmat v'nofel. Nishmat v'nofel sounds like it's being picked up a little bit. But I can make the argument. I'm not making the argument. I could make the argument that what Rashi means, let's imagine for a second that this is not really so far, you know, all over. Maybe let's say it's like this. I know it doesn't look like that, but let's say it's more like this. Right? And you got here and here and here. When you take this away, so you're going to have this. Right? This is the spot where it was. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen? Maybe some of this is going to fall into here. Nishmat v'nofel, if we wanted to, could say that it's going to move around on its own. But I didn't move it. You could say that. I'm not sure it's a strong case. But the point is that maybe this is nior. Maybe this is shaking, but this is not moving. Right, because you're picking it up and it's going to shake the straw on the side, but you're not really moving. Again, I'm not very confident in this answer. But our question for next week is, why did Rashi change his tune? Why does Rashi change his tune from tiltul min hatzad, lo shmei tiltul, to saying that the dirt that falls off the radish when you pick it up is considered tiltul min hatzad, but it's okay, as opposed to here on Kuf Chav Gimel, where he says nishmat v'nofel is not even tiltul min hatzad. Not even tiltul min hatzad. It's like the first case of Kuf Mem Aleph. Why did Rashi change his tune? What are we supposed to learn from that? What is tiltul min hatzad? That's what we're trying to figure out. What is considered tiltul min hatzad? What's not considered tiltul min hatzad? It would seem at this point that we've got three levels. We've got real tiltul on top.
That's with your hands. That's the dying. Okay? Then, one level beneath that, we've got Tiltul Min Hatzad. And then, we've got another level beneath that. We don't know what exactly it is, but it's Ain Tiltul at all. And then we'll put in parentheses, New York?
We don't know. We don't know. Is shaking another level that's not considered a tiltul? It's Hashem, to be continued next week. Okay, Shkayach.